then invite Leo or Michael to take us through the framework presentation.
Thank you, Steve. This is Michael. Although Frank did such a great job of summarizing the framework, I'm just going to say I agree. So the framework presentation, I guess, that we'll be giving now is a little bit of an update from the one that we presented at the beginning of the meeting yesterday, which incorporated many of the ideas from Tom Gruber, Deb McGinnis, Leo Oberst, and myself. This was intended as a straw man proposal, and it proved to be a very good target, which was good, because the purpose of this meeting was to generate discussion and get feedback and many different kinds of perspectives. And to a great extent, I mean, because it was a straw man proposal, you know, there were a lot of ideas that weren't fully articulated, and we struggled with that during the meeting. And hopefully, as reflected in the communique that Frank gave an overview of, presented just now, hopefully we cleared up some of the incomplete aspects of it. But there's still a lot of work that can be done in terms of really elaborating the various kinds of dimensions in the framework. And I think the other kind of aspect is the role of the framework is really to support the kind of the sharing and reuse of the various artifacts that we all call ontologies, no matter what they look like, and to be able to at least to be able to compare the work that we do and understand the differences between the different artifacts that we produce, and hopefully by understanding the differences to be able to have more interoperability between the different kinds of approaches. And again, this is interoperability in terms of more the, you know, not necessarily the difference in domains, but interoperability, particularly when there are shared domains, when there are different ontologies of different kinds of common sense ideas like, say, time or space, different kinds of medical domains, to at least guarantee that we can have interoperability within these kinds of informal domains. I mean, we began the meeting, or actually began even the document, the initial straw man framework document, with the idea of, you know, of trying to identify, again, what we have in common among all the different approaches, and then to be able to articulate the differences. And to a great extent, one of the things that was common was that there is this notion of we're after semantics in some way. We're after the meanings of stuff. Whether that stuff is concepts, terms, what have you, but we're after the meaning of this stuff. And that's kind of what we have in common. We're all identifying some of the fundamental kinds of stuff in our different domains. We're identifying ways in which these kinds of stuff are related to each other, and also ways to constrain the ways that these relationships can be used. And in the ways that we all of our approaches differ is in the way that we provide this kind of specification of meaning, the specification of the semantics. And so what we tried to identify was a set of what we were calling dimensions, just as a metaphor for the space of ontologies, or the topography of ontologies. And the idea was to be able to use these dimensions as the mechanism for comparing the different approaches. So along a particular dimension, you would be able to compare different kinds of ontologies. We identify two kinds of dimensions, semantic and pragmatic dimensions. Semantic dimensions that we're focusing more on different characteristics of ontologies that constrained how the meanings of these terms, the stuff that we were considering, how to specify that meaning, and the more pragmatic dimensions that cover the context in which the ontology was used and designed. So just before going on there, one note, and one of the things that you know, again, was a point of a lot of discussion and which still isn't quite fully resolved, is along each dimension. So implicitly, everybody's not here, as someone noted yesterday, when you're talking about dimension, you're implicitly talking about some kind of metric, I guess. Even metaphorically, there's a metric involved. And so there's a notion of scale. So if you're comparing two different ontologies along a particular dimension, what does that comparison mean? Right? Is this a number, as a particular kind of score, 0 to 5, 0 to 10, that you're assigning to these ontologies? Or is it more of a kind of a relative kind of ranking in the terms of, well, there's certain benchmark kind of ontologies we might kind of use and say, well, this particular ontology is further along on one particular dimension than this other one. Because in many cases, comparing two different ontologies, they might not be a what is called a linear ordering. Not every pair of ontologies may actually be comparable along a particular dimension. There may be ontologies that just aren't comparable. And so this is one thing that we're still trying to articulate in each case, is a kind of a complete agreement and understanding on what are the values of a particular ontology along a given dimension. And in some cases, this wasn't really, I guess, what some of the ISO 11179 people would call, it wasn't a non-enumerated domain, that there were simply a kind of a range of uses, for example, in intended use. And so there wasn't really a question of further along the dimension one way, one direction or another, but simply an identification of the different range of intended uses of a particular ontology. So, as Frank had eloquently put before, I'll just kind of go over some of the other dimensions, some in a little from a slightly different perspective, I suppose. The one particular dimension that was in the initial document was some notion of a degree of formality or structure. What was getting at here was kind of the nature of, or I guess how elaborate the semantics of the ontology were specified. And by elaborate, I mean this is something that, and again, there's another kind of discussion too in terms of using the metaphor of dimension, is, well, dimensions are supposed to be independent of each other, orthogonal to each other. And this is really was intended to be reflected in this notion, this dimension of structure. So the idea being, again, that the structure is a property of the ontology that records how elaborate the semantics are encoded. You can have a very elaborate specification of the semantics, even if it is not in a formal language. That if it is very well-structured, well-written natural language descriptions of those terms, then that is a very elaborate ontology. And so this dimension really is independent of the degree of formality. I just want to kind of make that bit clear there. Again, so you can have an ontology that is rich, unambiguous, and precise in any particular ontology representation or any particular language that's being used. Second dimension was focusing a little more on the ontology representation language in terms of expressiveness. Now, when it comes to formal languages, there are the logicians and mathematicians have a history of having very precise definitions of expressiveness. And so one of the challenges will be to ensure that this particular dimension does cover all the range of ontologies, not just the formal ontologies. So we'll need a notion of expressiveness and a way of comparing ontologies by expressiveness for every ontology. And this is another example I was saying before, that not all ontologies would necessarily be comparable, or not all ontology languages would be necessarily comparable with respect to expressiveness. There are many kinds of languages that just simply aren't comparable, or neither one's not expressive than the more expressive than the other. So in this case, as we would just simply point to kind of existing prior work from other communities. The third dimension was the representational granularity, which, again, informally or colloquially is looking at the level of detail at which the ontology is specified. And, I mean, there are some kinds of quantifiable metrics that people have proposed in the past, the notion of depth of the concept hierarchy, average density of axioms or expressions used to specify the meaning, ideas like this. I guess this could be a future ontology metrology summit for the ontolog community, particularly given our NIST sponsors. But again, there's still a lot of work that can be done there. So along the pragmatic dimensions, and this was also reflected very strongly in the communique, is the identifying the intended use or application focus of an ontology is one of the most valuable ways of recognizing the commonalities and distinctions between different ontologies. And so again, this is kind of one. In this case, the dimensions are not going to be more intended or less intended or more applied. Less applied is more kind of just simply identifying what are these different kinds of applications, and we don't want to prescribe what these various applications are. I guess this could almost be a folksonomy of intended uses as we kind of identify these. And part of the idea is that we want to have this to be a very dynamic community, and I think, as we'll hear in the population summary, there'll be mechanisms for people to connect their ontologies to these various categories. The second pragmatic dimension is sort of related to applications, and that's related to automated reasoning. It's been recognized that a lot of the impetus behind ontologies, particularly in the past 5 or so years, has really been pushed by a lot of work on semantic web and other kinds of automated or semi-automated software integration, semantic integration. And automated reasoning plays a big role in this. And so one of the pragmatic dimensions is simply identifying what kinds, if any, kinds of inference or automated reasoning can the ontology support. And this takes a wide range of ideas, including different kinds of special interpreters or inference engines that can use the content of an ontology. And this can range from very simple forms of automated reasoning to very complex kinds of theorem proving. But just because it's called simple, there are many kinds of inference, and no matter how simple it is, if it's extracting something that wasn't existing on a particular web page, for example, that kind of inference can be incredibly powerful in refining search, for example. The third pragmatic dimension was the notion of prescriptive versus descriptive. And I think we probably did a very good job of mangling some of the original intent of this dimension. And I hope we've, as reflected in the communique, I hope it's capturing the original intent of the proposal. So the idea is whether the ontology is capturing a particular body of practice as it is, or whether it is something that's being designed as a way of prescribing how things should be done in a particular kind of domain. This can make have big implications in terms of the methodology and kinds of applications. So the penultimate dimension on the pragmatic side is the design methodology. And again, initially, the framework had simply two values here, top down, bottom up. But we recognize that is really a gross oversimplification. That in many ways there's a bottom up or empirical or emergent kinds of methodologies in which ontologies are built as a community, and which is effectively what this framework is, or the other kind of the way of a top down design where there is a set of requirements analogous to software engineering, and the ontology is designed in that way. Or also incorporating some of the work that went into upper ontologies, in which case there's a lot of merging and mediation, and that's a methodology in and of itself. And finally, one pragmatic dimension that arose directly out of the discussions that was not included in the original framework proposal was the notion of governance. So this is examining how decisions concerning the structure and content of an ontology are made. This can range to ontologies that have legal, regulatory implications, but also incorporates some other kind of metadata that talks about provenance of definitions in ontology. And I think beyond identifying and recognizing this dimension, I don't think we ever came to any firm ideas on how to evaluate governance or how to identify different kinds of governance. Again, something that we'll be really looking for in the future. Just in conclusion then, we wanted to avoid positing a definition that would kind of serve to distract us into wordsmithing and terminology debates. We really wanted to allow different characteristics of ontology and perhaps even a definition of ontology to emerge, and I think in the communique really does reflect this kind of common understanding of different ways of comparing ontologies. So we really, again, we wanted to use this as a way of comparing ontologies to understand how ontologies are alike And even when they're different, at least understand how they're comparable. Thank you.
This is Steve Ray. Thank you, Michael.